Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Wednesday, August 13th, 2014. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Washington unemployment rate drops. Moscow committee recommends funding legacy crossing business study. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service withdraws Wolverine recovery plan. And Clarkston won't allow recreational cannabis sales to move forward within city limits. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The Washington Employment Security Department reports the state's official unemployment rate went down 0.2 percentage point in July. The department says the state added 7,300 jobs between June and July, and the unemployment rate was listed as 5.6% for July, down from 5.8% in June. The state has added 93,000 jobs during the last 12 months, with more jobs in every sector except manufacturing. The Employment Security Department said professional and business services increased by 4,500 jobs between June and July. There were 4,000 more jobs in leisure and hospitality, 2,300 more jobs in construction, and about 1,100 new jobs in each of the two categories of retail, trade, and education and health services. During the one-month period, the government sector shed 2,100 jobs, and transportation, warehousing, and utilities lost 1,700 jobs. Washington's unemployment remains below the national average, which was 6.2% in July. The Puget Sound area, defined as Seattle, Bellevue, and Everett, as well as nearby suburbs, had an unemployment rate of 4.7%, down 0.1 percentage point since July. Employment Security Department economist Paul Turek issued a statement saying, Washington's labor market continues to gain momentum. Year over year, the state saw growth in nearly every industry. The Moscow-based group Wild Idaho Rising Tide says Idaho Transportation Department spokesperson Adam Rush told them today haulers plan to move the 926,000-pound megaload traveling north on U.S. Highway 95 tonight through Plummer, Coeur d'Alene, and Hayden on its way to Montana. Wild Idaho Rising Tide spokesperson Helen Yost reports Rush told her hauler Biggie Crane and Rigging plans to move the giant load 75 miles tonight. The organization plans protests in Plummer at the Warpath at 10 p.m. tonight and in Coeur d'Alene at the corner of West Linden Avenue and Lincoln Way sometime later, perhaps after midnight. Wild Idaho Rising Tide carpools are scheduled to leave Moscow at 9 p.m. tonight at 3rd and Washington Streets in front of City Hall. The payload is a 500,000-pound part of a hydrocracker unit heading towards the Calumet oil refinery in Great Falls, Montana. The Calumet refinery processes exclusively Alberta tar sands crude oil. The load weighs 926,000 pounds on relatively flat terrain, and when more push and pull trucks are hooked up, the megaload weighs more than 1,000,000 pounds on the highway. The Moscow City Council's Administrative Committee Monday afternoon recommended approval of a plan to allocate $7,000 for a market assessment study of the core area of the Legacy Crossing Urban Renewal District located between downtown and the University of Idaho. The agenda item also included authorizing the mayor to sign a professional services agreement with Johnson Economics of Portland to conduct the study. In 2008, the city approved the Legacy Crossing Plan, which anticipates mixed uses for the mostly undeveloped area. Moscow Community Development Director Bill Belknap told city council members the study will cost $23,000, with the University of Idaho agreeing to pay half that cost with the city and the Moscow Urban Renewal Agency splitting the remainder of the cost.
That ultimately ended up in a discussion of a jointly funded market assessment and study that would look at the entirety of the Legacy Crossing District and look at the local economy, look at market rates, absorption rates, and really help us give us some better information about what can we anticipate to program out for land uses. So when the university that ultimately purchased that four-acre property with the desire to place that out and make it available for private development, that we can really have a good understanding about what type of development should we be looking for, and we can go into that situation with a better understanding than what we have today.
That was Moscow Community Development Director Bill Belknap speaking at Monday afternoon's Moscow City Council Administrative Committee meeting. The committee put the item on the consent agenda for next Monday night's City Council meeting. The Moscow City Council's Administrative Committee Monday afternoon recommended changes to the city ordinance regulating peddlers, solicitors, canvassers, secondhand dealers, pawnbrokers, and vendors. As City Attorney Rod Hall told City Council members, the proposed amendments to City Code are designed to provide uniformity to the business license process, including laying out processes for business licenses, renewals, denials, and revocations.
The city right now has a license renewal process for taxis that only require new fingerprints for every 5 years. It was asked to look at a renewal process for the other licenses and include only requiring fingerprints every 5 years rather than a new application and a new set of fingerprints every year. The renewal process will include a reduced fee for the renewals without the fingerprints, but it will also continue to require the Idaho State Police and the local criminal history checks. And then while I was going through the city ordinances, noticed that they were probably instituted or implemented at several different time periods. Thought it was a good time to maybe amend the other parts in the code dealing with those licenses to provide a more uniform process for licenses, application process, renewals, denials, and revocations. And so that's what we did here. We're just kind of cleaning up the code, and we're just adding a renewal process similar to the taxi license that would only require the fingerprints for every 5 years.
That was Moscow City Attorney Rod Hall. The Administrative Committee put the ordinance change on the regular agenda for next Monday night's City Council meeting. The Moscow City Council's Public Works Committee Monday afternoon recommended allocating $24,200 in matching funds towards a $121,000 smart transit bus. At the meeting, Councilmember Wayne Krause spoke about the need for a new bus.
We have 8 buses we roll in and out of stock. We could have, at any given time, a need for 4 buses on the road at one time. Generally speaking, we have 1 to 2 buses having maintenance done or repairs done at any given time. That could leave us, if we had two in the shop, 4 on the road with only 2 spares, and then if one of those went down. So we have plenty of rolling stock, but do I think we have too much?
You're not flush.
I don't think so, because we have to remember that we want to be able to deliver a service. And if you take a look at, for instance, 404, that's the Walmart bus.
Correct.
If you'll see 404, it gets double duty sometimes. You'll see it on a fixed route, depending on what's going on. It could be on
Dial-A-Ride
too. Yeah. Yeah, it could be on that one. Now, this one thing that is going to be beneficial is that the bus that Jenny wants to buy is one that is. I call it a low rider. What's the actual term for it?
It's a low floor, an RBOC low floor.
It's going to reduce the amount of time for loading wheelchairs to half the amount of time it takes now, which is going to speed that Dial-A-Ride system up to where we may not need to use 2 buses at a given time. So the efficiency will be substantially increased with that particular bus. And then as she finds the match money for the second bus, that'll replace one of the high-mileage, larger fixed-route buses.
Moscow City Councilmember Wayne Krause, the Public Works Committee, put the item on the consent agenda for the next full City Council meeting, which will be next Monday night at City Hall. Yesterday's severe thunderstorm at about 5 p.m. caused about 3,000 Avista customers to lose power in Moscow. A small section of Hayes Street near East City Park remained closed as the sun came up this morning, as crews had not finished cleaning downed power lines or cleaning up a downed tree that brought down a wire there. Most power had been restored in Moscow as of early this morning. 600 power customers lost service in Genesee due to the storm, as did 308 customers in Palouse. The highest gust reported at the Moscow Pullman Regional Airport yesterday was 38 miles per hour, and the city of Pullman did not have any major power disruptions. The Daily News reported lightning from the storm started a 25-acre fire near American Ridge Road near Julietta, and that fire was mostly put out by nightfall. The paper reported there were two small fires burning near Deary as of last night, one on Spud Hill and another on Park Road. The storm kicked up dust on the Palouse, and visibility affected driving for a time. The Washington State Patrol said zero visibility was the factor on roadways in Whitman and Adams counties, and that caused several accidents. The Spokesman Review reported the storm downed power lines all around Spokane Valley and in northern Spokane and on South Hill in Spokane. Three brush fires burned three outbuildings and damaged a house in an area south of Mount Spokane Park Drive. The Clarkston City Council voted 4-2 Monday night against a zoning change recommended by the Clarkston Planning Commission that would allow recreational cannabis businesses in the city. The vote puts the city at risk of lawsuit by cannabis business license owners, including two with retail licenses who had been counting on the zoning changes to allow them to open for business once a city moratorium on cannabis businesses expires in November. The Lewiston Tribune reported City Council members Terry Beatles, George Nash, Bill Provost, and Kelly Blackman voted against the zoning change, which would have allowed cannabis businesses in small areas of 5th and 6th and Bridge Streets. Council members Clee Manchester and Larry Baumberger voted in favor of the ordinance changing the zoning, and Brian Kolstad abstained. Beatles referred to cannabis as a hazardous product and said when casting his vote, he felt the city has a responsibility not to promote it. Nash said he favors medical marijuana, but recreational cannabis scares him. One member of the public who spoke up was Pastor Nick Hasselstrom, whose church yard would back up against a potential pot store. Hasselstrom said the church hosts youth events and recovery group meetings. He said cannabis shops would mean, quote, we're bringing in another evil. Kelly Jackson, who is working to start a retail cannabis store at 721 6th Street in Clarkston, told the Lewiston Tribune outside the meeting after the vote, there is a lawsuit coming. It's called a legal dog pile. It's not me. It's the industry lining up to sue. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service Director Dan Ash rejected conclusions of its own scientists and outside experts yesterday when he announced there was not enough evidence climate change will hurt wolverines and withdrew the agency's proposal to protect the mountain-dwelling member of the weasel family under the Endangered Species Act. In withdrawing the proposal, Ash said, climate change is a reality. What we don't know with reliability is what does climate change mean for denning habitat that wolverines prefer. Ash said the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service will act to protect wolverines once evidence of peril becomes clear. Biologist and Wolverine Foundation Executive Director Jeff Copeland told the Associated Press, what's happened today is nothing less than a travesty of science. This was not a scientific process. It was a political process. State wildlife officials in Montana and Idaho had fought the proposed listing. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service also had planned to reintroduce wolverines to southern Rocky Mountain habitat in Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, but that will not move forward. The Wolverine decision could set a precedent for other at-risk species, including bearded seals in Alaska, the Pacific walrus, and numerous coral species. University of Montana ecology professor Steve Running, who is a member of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, said climate trajectories over the last 50 years give an accurate picture of what could happen over the next 50 years to animals. Wolverines thrive in mountain snowfields, and Running noted the annual snowmelt in the northern Rockies is 2 weeks earlier in the spring than it was 50 years ago. Running said, if you take 50 more years and think of it as 2 more weeks earlier, wolverines are probably one of the classic poster children of a highly temperature-sensitive animal. Wolverines have been seen rarely since the 1930s, when populations were devastated by unregulated trapping and poisoning. Scientists believe only 250 to 300 wolverines still live in the U.S. West. Nez Perce Tribal Executive Committee Chair Silas Whitman has written the tribe is not responsible for $328,000 in garbage fees the county says it owes them for garbage pickup over the last 28 years. Whitman said in his letter to Idaho County Commission Chair James Rockwell, he was taken aback by the tone of the letter sent last month by Idaho County Commissioners to the tribe. Whitman wrote, there is no evidence that such services were actually provided to tribal members, and the county provided no notice to anyone, including the residents, the United States, or the tribe, for 28 years. Referring to trust property owned by the United States for the benefit of individual Nez Perce tribal members, Whitman wrote, these properties are not owned by the tribe. Asking the tribe to pay for unbilled garbage fees of individual tribal members would be akin to asking the county to pay for the debts of county citizens for the last 28 years. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather from the National Weather Service, there's a 70% chance of showers and possibly a thunderstorm tonight. A storm could be severe with large hail, gusty winds, and heavy rain. Otherwise, mostly cloudy, low 58. 70% chance of showers and possibly a thunderstorm tomorrow. Some storms in the area could produce small hail and heavy rain tomorrow. Mostly cloudy, otherwise high 76. 60% chance of showers and possibly a thunderstorm Thursday night. Some storms could produce small hail and heavy rain. Otherwise, mostly cloudy, low 54. 30% chance of showers with thunderstorms also possible in the afternoon on Friday. Mostly cloudy, high 79. 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms before midnight Friday night. Mostly cloudy, low 55. And sunny skies expected Saturday and Sunday with a high of 82. Saturday, low or a high of 85 on Sunday and a low of 56 Saturday night. Currently, we have fair skies, 80 degrees in Moscow. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFP Evening Report. Coming up next, we have the weekly news magazine from Between the Lines, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. At 7:30, we'll have This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian news magazine. At 8 o'clock, live in the studio, World Waves, World Music with Catherine Bonzo, 8 to 9:30, and The Grateful Dead Through the Decades at 9:30 p.m., hosted by local DJs. And coming up at 11 o'clock, Bob Slack Time Funhouse. Lots of stuff coming up here at KRFP Moscow. News, information, music, entertainment, all here. KRFP Moscow Pullman. I'm Lee Robartis. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFP Evening Report. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, be sure to donate to Radio Free Moscow for all the programming we bring you. You can mail donations to 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. It's Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843, or go to the Radio Free Moscow website at krfp.org or radiofreemoscow.com to find out more ways to help Radio Free Moscow. Have a good night. KRFP Moscow Pullman.